Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to celebrate today the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth and the encounter between Jesus and John the Baptist, both in the wombs of their mother. It's a great feast, and the church gives us some really excellent readings for us to meditate on that precede the gospel today. One reading that could potentially be read, you have an option here given by the church, two different, an Old Testament reading or a New Testament reading. And I thought I'd read the New Testament reading from Romans 12 this morning, 9 through 16, because I think why we're given this particular passage from Romans, which begins with Paul's words about being transformed by the renewal of our minds, being disciples. What's a disciple? Someone who's come to not only be baptized into Christ, to become that new creation, to become children of God, but we become his disciples. And that means we learn from him. A disciple's a learner. And the starting point is a transformed mind, moving from a mind that's trapped in darkness to a mind that's now entered into the light of Christ, understanding the truth, the light that is the truth about Jesus, the truth about God, the truth about man and reality. And then that transformation of mind leads to a different way of life. And St. Paul beautifully lays out dimensions of the life of a disciple, what the Holy Spirit produces in us. And we can hear the words and hear the description and say, yeah, I may not be there yet with all of those things, but it really does help me see and understand where the Lord, who is discipling me, he's discipling each and every one of us, where he's leading us and the kind of transformation that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us. So we lean into this, we anticipate it, we can pray into these things and thank the Lord for it, thank the Lord for what he's doing in us, and asking for the grace to have an ever clearer mind to be able to see whether these things are growing and how they need to grow more fully in our lives so we can lean into the promptings, the leading, the transforming grace of the Holy Spirit. So here's St. Paul. Again, Romans 12, verse 9 through 16. Brothers and sisters, let love be sincere. It always starts with love, right? Love is the most important thing. So let it be genuine. Let it be sincere. Hate what is evil and hold on to what is good. Now, this is one of the places where this very common saying, you know, hate the sin, love the sinner. It's sort of a take on this in some way, not just this passage, but others as well. It's being rejected today where something in the modern world, this postmodern world that we live in, where people intentionally identify themselves with a particular pattern of life they're living that is clearly inconsistent with God's will, which is sin, and sin is evil, and they identify with that behavior. And they say that if you're going to love me, you have to celebrate me because this behavior is me. It's who I am. And there's a whole range of ways now that that's being expressed in people's lives. And it's a tremendous confusion. And so Paul is saying here, a healthy life in God, a healthy life as a child of God and life in the Spirit is going to begin with sincere love. That's putting God first, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it's going to mean loving your neighbor, willing the good of your neighbor, that we can never celebrate what's not true and good for a person. And so it says here, hate what is evil. God hates what is evil. God doesn't hate persons. God hates what people do. God hates sin. It's another way of describing it. So let love be sincere. Hate what is evil. Hold on to what is good. Let go of what's inconsistent with God's will. That's another way of describing what is evil. And hold on to and grasp what is good. Only God is good. And the things of God, the mind of God, the plan of God, the commandments of God. It's let going of one and clinging to another. It's that life of transformation. It's a life of repentance. It's turning toward the will of God. Now, if you identify your life with a sin pattern in your life or decisions you're making that are inconsistent, you'll say, if God calls them evil, then people say, well, then God isn't good because I know these things are good because I've chosen them for myself and it's who I am. And God rejects me as a person. He doesn't. He sent his son to die for you. He made you. You're made in God's image and likeness. His love for you is amazing and infinite. It's God's love. But God's love wills the good, wills what is true, wills what leads to your authentic fulfillment and happiness. And sometimes we get that wrong. Sometimes we're deceived in this fallen world. And we choose patterns of life. We identify with idols. We give ourselves to things that we think are good, but God calls them evil. And so as disciples, as learners, as followers of the Lord, as Our Lady's the quintessential disciple, whose heart is pure, like perfectly pure by God's grace, we're following her as she's following Jesus. And so this is the pattern of life that's present in her. And so it goes on. Hold on to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Anticipate one another in showing honor. Customs of honor and respect are really good things. They've been broken down quite a bit in our culture as well. Sometimes when I travel to different countries, China and other places, where there's still some traditional culture in dimensions of those countries and places in those countries, Africa has this very strong customs of honor and respect of parents in a way that's healthy. Maybe there's dimensions of us that aren't, but there's clearly kind of stuff I experienced when I was a little boy, you know, that the way you'd relate to your parents, a lot of those customs are not present in a way that they were, and they're really built on a kind of exhortation that's being presented here. Outdo yourself in showing honor toward one another. Do not grow slack in zeal. This is a fundamental characteristic of a healthy Christian life, to be zealous. The opposite of it is the Laodicean church of the book of Revelation, the lukewarmness. It's just the opposite. And zeal is not just simply willpower. Zeal is surrendering to the fire of the Spirit of God in us that keeps us focused and willing to persevere and to keep going toward what God calls us, the way of life that God calls us to live. Be fervent. So be zealous, be fervent. Very normal. It's a normal part of the life. Our Lady was zealous. Our Lady was fervent. It says, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, endure in affliction, and persevere in prayer. I love that series. Don't grow slack in zeal. Be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Remember, we're servants of the Lord. It's our dignity to serve the Lord and His purpose. Rejoice in the hope that belongs to us, the confident expectation that we're going to ultimately share fully in the glory of God in our lives. Endure affliction. Jesus often talked about that. We're going to experience hardship and trial in this world, but be of good cheer. Patient endurance is a part of the Christian life. Persevering in prayer, even when it's dry, difficult. Keep pressing in. Talk to God each day throughout the day. Pray personally, corporately, you know, liturgically. The full range of prayer and ways of prayer that the Lord has given to us. Contribute to the needs of the holy ones. Don't forget the poor. Exercise hospitality. Bless those who persecute you and do not curse them. This is a really important one right now. A lot of things falling apart in society and the culture, the rise of rage, and not just ridicule, but rage and anger and people crippled by fear. And there's a kind of madness in parts of the culture. And there's resistance to God and the things of God. And Christians are being increasingly considered the problem. And so Jesus is just, or Paul's echoing Jesus. And Paul's doing this in his own life. He's blessing those who persecute him, and he doesn't curse them. He says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That's the compassion and the identification of the disciple with those in need. Have the same regard for one another. Don't be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Like, don't be so proud and so set apart in enclaves of success and wealth and power that we don't connect with lowly people, people who are less fortunate. This is where Pope Francis's best of his teaching really can be found. You know, smell like the sheep and draw close. Really good stuff. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Pride of mind. Remember, Jesus said the one thing he described about himself, he said, I'm meek and I'm humble of heart. Come and learn from me. And we're disciples, we're learners. And this is what Our Lady learned. She had great grace. Jesus learned some of this from his mother. But as he grew in strength and maturity, she also saw in her son the perfection of holiness, of humility, of grace. And so the reading today from Luke chapter 1, verse 29, says, Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Beautiful. I mean, you see the words of the rosary that were repeated. You know, it's a rosary. It's not just, rosary's biblical, right at the core, right? It's the whole, it's God's saving work being communicated. And here, Mary has been blessed among women, and all generations shall call her blessed, Scripture says. "For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt with joy." That's John the Baptist, leapt with joy. "Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." This is a disciple. She's identifying fundamental characteristics of the mind and the heart of a disciple. Blessed are you who believed. Mary believed. Mary believed the words of the angel Gabriel who came to her. She believed in God's promises, even though it was a little confusing and troubling at the beginning. And she leaned into them and carried them in her heart. Do you carry the promises of God in your heart? Do you believe them? The promises of God and the word of God for his people are for you. And your weakness and your brokenness doesn't distance you from those promises. God's promises are true, and they're there every day. And he wants you to be able to carry them in your heart so you can draw strength from them. And as you do, they form you and make you stronger. All the, you know, step by step, you could become empowered to live the life that Paul was describing in Romans chapter 12. "Blessed are you who believe that what was spoken to you by the Lord will be fulfilled." Has the Lord given you personal words in your life where you just know in your heart he was saying something to you? Promises, lean into those. So maybe some week I'll take time to just go through different promises the Lord gave me in my life and what I learned about leaning into them and trusting and being patient and waiting on the Lord's timing. But then Our Lady in the beautiful words, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. Now that's something that every disciple really can pray and is meant to pray and rejoice and declare just like Our Lady's doing. I mean, she's full of joy here. She's full of confidence in God. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Let's start each day that way. How about that? My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. I'm rejoicing. My spirit in me, the spirit of God present in me, my own spirit as well, rejoicing. God's favor is upon me. I'm his lowly servant. I've been forgiven. I've been made a child of God. God has come and made his home in me. These are realities that we can magnify the Lord about. We can celebrate. And Mary goes on to say, Our Lady goes on to say, "For this day all generations will call me blessed." There it is. "The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Friends, we're often troubled. A lot of bad news in the world. And we forget the good news, the unchanging reality of what God has done for us. This too can be your hard cry. "The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.